Welcome to this week's Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast. I'm Dr. Peter Bagshaw, GP and Clinical Lead for Mental Health at Somerset NHS, and I'm delighted to be joined by my friend and colleague,
Dr. Kate Staveley, also a GP and a Clinical Lead for Women and Children.
And this week, we're very pleased to be joined by two more colleagues, Louise and Marie. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you're going to be talking to us about this week?
Hi, morning, Peter and Kate. My name's Louise Webb, and I'm a project manager with the Women and Children's team within Somerset ICB. And one of my projects that I'm looking at is around parent-infant relationships. Previous to this role, I was a health visitor for 10 years, and previous to that, I was a paediatric nurse.
Hi, everyone. I'm Marie Pilton. I'm a clinical psychologist currently working in the perinatal mental health team. And part of my role is to support my colleagues with consultation, supervision, and thinking around the parent-infant relationship. And I also offer therapy to women and families around kind of difficulties that might come up in the parent and infant relationship.
So when you say parent-infant relationship, what are we talking about and why is it important?
So the parent-infant relationship is kind of, it's all about attachment and bonding, but it's also about that emotional well-being with your infant, that social and emotional development. And as a parent, as a carer, how you form a positive relationship with your baby, your infant, your unborn, and how you experience that and how you manage to form that positive relationship so that we can all have that emotional connection.
And a lot of us, I think, assume that there'll be that instant bond between parent and child, but it's not always the case, is it? So do you want to give us a few examples and how people might spot that they might need help and what you can do to help them?
I guess there's an idea in society in general that we might have like an initial rush of love when our baby is born into the world. And that is the case for some, but not all. And that is really dependent on all sorts of different factors around things like whether pregnancy has been a challenge or whether it has gone smoothly, how labour and birth has gone, and also our own experiences that we've had when we were babies and children and growing up. If people have experienced some sort of trauma within their own parenting relationships, it can be quite tricky when a new baby comes along to form a connection with them.
And of course, we know that some mums will suffer postnatal depression that makes life very difficult for them. Is that something that you deal with, and how would you help somebody who's feeling that?
Yeah, well, postnatal depression is fairly common, actually. I guess probably about 1 in 10 women might experience, or even more, may experience some sort of depression. And it's a really tricky time welcoming a little baby into the family. It's a huge adjustment, and babies come with all sorts of different needs, which can be quite tricky to understand when you're a new parent, and every baby is so different. So it's really thinking about getting to know your baby, but that can be really difficult when you're feeling quite low. So when you're feeling low, then you may have kind of thoughts that you're not doing a very good job in some way. You're feeling quite down and lethargic. So it can be quite tricky to respond to baby's needs.
So do you think that a parent-infant relationship is something that just automatically happens? Or is it something we should prepare for when we know we're pregnant? Or is it something that other people should be telling us how to do it better?
Well, I think babies are born into the world very vulnerable and helpless, but they're also born really having a natural and innate kind of way of communicating with us. We need to attach to our caregivers in order for us to survive. So in one way, babies are born kind of ready to communicate and be with us. When difficulties arrive, it's sort of around how parents have been parented. So if you've had a tricky time with your own parents, then you perhaps won't know how to be a parent, or you're thinking about how you want to do things differently to when you were parented. So it can be quite difficult for new parents to kind of know what to do and how to be. And so there can be times when you need a bit of extra support and thinking about how to do things differently if you're struggling.
So just going back to a question you said a minute ago, Peter, about mum's experience in postnatal depression, I think what we need to remember here is actually we need to remember our fathers or our partners within this as well, because actually when you have a newborn baby come into the family, it has massive it could positive and negative emotional feelings on fathers and partners as well, because actually suddenly they feel a lot more pressure, a lot more responsibility. And actually, we need to acknowledge that actually sometimes the partners and fathers also struggle. And I think it's what we need to get across is that it's okay to acknowledge that it's okay for parents to say to a health professional, to a family member, I'm struggling, or I'm not enjoying my baby as much, or to be able to say how they're feeling and have a positive conversation with somebody.
And I suppose to wider family as well, Louise. So, you know, if you're an older sibling and you've been the only focus of your parents' attention, then suddenly having to share with this new baby, that must be quite difficult.
Yeah, and I think it is. In my experience with health visiting, Peter, that is always something that parents are quite concerned about, is how will my older child take to a new baby coming into the home? And I think there is lots of support and advice that your health professional, your midwife, your health visitor can support you with that. And generally, I would say 9 times out of 10, it's not always an issue. That sibling is overwhelmingly loving and caring towards that baby when they come into their family. But I think we do need to acknowledge the family and the wider family who else lives within our home as well.
So how can we best support new mums and families with the parent-infant relationship and recognise when they're doing well and when they might need some help and support?
I guess it's thinking, it's really bringing attention to this and thinking about the parent-infant relationship when you see your families in clinic or in their homes, really asking parents how they've been feeling since they've had a little baby join their family, how as you were saying, how things have been adjusted to and how things have been going.
That's great, Marie. And you mentioned that some mums-to-be, and dads-to-be for that matter, may feel that they're unprepared to be a parent. Is there anything that they can do at an earlier stage in terms of through antenatal, contacting a midwife, other support? Is there something that people can do to help them prepare for what's a really life-changing event?
Peter, there are things that they can do. You can talk to family members and friends that have had children and little ones. You can seek support from your midwife and your health visitor. That within your own local community, there'll be groups that you can perhaps go along and speak to other people, antenatal groups. You could look at some information from some trusted websites online, and if you're not sure, the best people to ask is a professional to say, because if you Google anything, you will get a lot of information, and if you're not sure what to go with, it's best to ask your professional, really. And then I think, David, after you've had your baby, if you're struggling, or actually you're just feeling a little bit lonely or you want to get out and about, is look to see what is in my own community. You know, is there a rhyme time within the library? Is there a playing stay? Is there a cafe that I can go to and meet other parents? And to get that support. And then once parents get support and they hear somebody else saying, oh, I didn't enjoy that, or I didn't sleep, or I'm not having this much fun, or this is not what I thought it'd be like. I think it gives that positive affirmation, actually, this is okay, and this is all right, and this is actually normal to feel like this and to have these feelings. And actually, having a newborn baby is hard work. It can be hard work and always not what you thought it would always be.
And are there some groups of parents who struggle with the infant-parent relationship more than others? I'm thinking people who may be neurodiverse, people who may have mental health problems, people who may have experienced the care system and not actually had a good role model in parents themselves. Is there sort of more specialised help for those sort of parents, or can they just access what everybody else can?
So at the minute, Kate, within Somerset, we don't have any sort of specialist parent infant relationship services. Around the country, there are these services, but there are, so there's nothing specialist, but you could use a support, your health visitor and your midwife.
It's more about tailoring the relationship for different groups of people. So I'm particularly interested in neurodiverse people, our autistic community and people with ADHD. Who may struggle more with developing a parent-infant relationship. Is there any help for them that's easily available, or how can we help them better?
So there will be support available for different client groups that require it. So for parents who have, say, ADHD, autistic parents, that support is probably going to come at currently in line more with the services they already access to support them with their daily lives of living. There's nothing that's going to support them primarily just with their parent other than potentially their health visitor or their midwife. But we do know that if you are an adult who is experiencing either some ACEs or some childhood experiences or some different mental health conditions, we know that actually there is a high correlation between that impact on how you parent and then actually how your child will grow and develop into adulthood. And we know that actually when we look at adults now, we can look back at their childhood and potentially pinpoint and see that there may have been times in that childhood that had we provided that intervention or support or acknowledgement of a parent-infant relationship that needed some extra support, we may have been able to support them more within their adulthood.
And just to unpack for people who aren't familiar, ACEs is adverse childhood events, isn't it?
And that could be a selection of things.
Absolutely. So can I ask, obviously, you've been very reassuring about not everybody just taking naturally to parenthood and it being an easy thing. And that's certainly something I remember experiencing just from sleep deprivation, where you start to go a little bit stir crazy after a couple of weeks of not sleeping at all. A lot of patients are very reluctant to talk about the difficulties they're having with parenting because they're worried that their child's going to be taken away because they're not a good enough parent. Is that something you can reassure people about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important when you're seeing patients in clinic to offer them a real reassuring kind of way of talking about these things. So we're talking about relationships, aren't we? So forming that relationship with patients as they come in with you and just spending a little bit of time getting to know them and how they've been doing with their journey so far will help them feel as if they can trust you, I suppose, and kind of feel as if maybe they could share some of these things that are scary to kind of name and to talk to professionals about. But I think that if we can encourage people to talk about it, it won't be such a stigma. And it will help parents share some of those feelings that are really, really understandable. As you say, Peter, when you've been up all night and baby's tricky to soothe or is teething or whatever might be happening, I think it's really important to normalise some of those things.
And we were talking about things that might be a barrier to forming that relationship. I mean, apart from things in the parent, if the child, say, has a some kind of problem, or particularly if it's premature and has to spend a lot of time I was going to say skaboo, but that would be a special care baby unit. Do we know if there's evidence that that can interfere with this relationship?
Absolutely. Yeah. So those sorts of difficulties around birth and around kind of those first few days and weeks of a baby's life, that absolutely can get in the way of that forming that bond and that connection between the parent and the infant. And it's just kind of, I suppose, for professionals to be mindful of that and aware of that. And you might just be kind of listening out in your usual conversations with the parent for kind of any difficulties that they might be having. And of course, you'll be with parents in the room you'll have parents and babies in the room with you. So you'll be sort of noticing whether they're feeling comfortable and connected with each other, or, you know, whether there's not much eye contact, not much warmth. Baby's not really looking to mum or dad for that comfort and reassurance. So you'll get a feel, because you know, everybody, we're all human beings in relationships with each other. So we all know, we can all pick up on these different tensions and distance between kind of people. So it's just picking up on that, I suppose, being mindful of it, and then kind of trying to find a really kind way to talk to parents about these sorts of things.
I was just saying, it's a particular time frame that it's important to get the parent-infant relationship right, or is it too, can it become too late to try and fix it?
In answer to one of Maria's questions, sorry, previously, I think it's good for parents to be mindful that this is a subject that is being discussed more about parent-infant relationships, and within special care baby units and neonatal units, they are very aware of this, and there is that support. Staff acknowledge that, they can identify, and they are very supportive of that. I think ideally, we talk a lot within the professional element, within my work stream, you know, the first 1,001 days are the kind of the critical time, really, of shaping that relationship and that emotional bonding and attachment with your little baby. And that's quite a crucial time. However, it's not too late, and some other areas that do have services for parents have evidence of this, that actually at any point a parent could seek support and advice, could look at some more reflective parenting with their baby and get that support from a professional, and can improve their relationships. No relationship is bad, and it's not a negative thing, but actually we can improve and have a better understanding of our little one and their world around them.
Something that strikes me, that it's a difficult topic, and maybe not one you can speak to, that, but around neonatal death, stillbirth, you know, bonding with a child who has died, is there a right and wrong way to do that? And is there support available for that? I'm aware of SANS, the Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Society, but can you give any tips to anybody who's suffered bereavement?
There is support around if somebody experiences that type of loss within our midwifery services. There are bereavement midwives that are working in Somerset that they will be put in touch with, and we also have a maternal mental health team that specialise in offering support to mothers and their families who have experienced traumatic loss of a baby and trauma in birth as well, alongside a whole other host of things too. And of course, Peter, as you say, there's lots of charities out there that can support, and there are some local charities as well. Towards Tomorrow Together is one of the local Somerset charities, and there are lots of others too. So there's lots and lots of support. And as when it comes to bonding with a baby that sadly died, I guess it's really about having some thoughts and reflecting on how you would like baby to remain part of your family. So keeping them in mind as your family kind of continues into the future. You may have children kind of that are siblings now that you would want to talk with them about how they can remember their brother or sister and how you can kind of keep remembering them as part of the family. And then, of course, if and when new siblings come along, kind of how they can be spoken about. So it's all about remembering them in a really special way. And yes, absolutely, that bond doesn't break.
And what can be the consequences of not getting this relationship right with children?
So there's lots of evidence as to why it's ideal to have a positive relationship with your baby from before conception, really. And the evidence kind of shows that if we are a child that experiences any sort of negative emotional parenting, it can affect us as we grow and develop with how we make relationships, how we manage our own emotions and feelings, how we see the world and how we move through the world. And that can affect us as we go into teenagers and then into adulthood. And then obviously then how we then become parents ourselves and then parent our own children, and this kind of intergenerational cycle that continues. At any point, you know, that can be broken and that can be turned around. But we are aware that there is a link between what we experience as a baby and in our childhood and how it affects us into adulthood.
And talking about intergenerational relationships, there's talk now, isn't there, of grandinatal classes, of grandparents having refresher courses on how to look after babies and children. Is that something you're involved with or know about at all?
I don't personally know about that, Peter. But I can see there could be a benefit to that, because obviously, if I think about my grandparents and how they brought up, say, my dad, and then how I parent, we do change. We change our parenting as we go along, and we develop it and look back and think that wasn't a great idea to put us at the bottom of the garden and let us cry for 3 hours, because now we've got some potentially emotionally unstable parents.
And interesting, it's important also to reflect that what we did in the past may not be what happens now, but to support grandparents so they're not completely alienated by, well, we don't do that. I had an interesting experience recently. I went with my grandson for his vaccinations with his mum as well. And the practice nurse was fantastic, because she said, I expect granny here will have told you to give them Calpol if they get a temperature, but actually we don't recommend that anymore. And it was a very positive way of saying it, that granny's not wrong, but actually this is how we do it now. And I think those relationships can be quite tricky to navigate when you've got quite strong family traditions, really, haven't you?
Because grandparents are a huge support when you have any family member is a huge support. And families that don't have that extended family do struggle more, because it is massively supportive to have granny, granddad, uncle, auntie around to offer that support. Absolutely. And I always used to say to parents in health visiting, it's good to listen to their advice, and some of it will be really useful that you can use, and some of it you may choose to think, well, actually, I'm going to speak to my health visitor about that first.
And some of the practical advice has changed, hasn't it, about whether we lay babies on their front or back, which arose from the Children of the 90s studies, where that's changed. Time has been flying by, I'm afraid. I get the sense from what you've both been saying that health professionals and other people around new parents should be much more understanding that it isn't always this wonderful, happy time, that it brings its own stresses as well. And that from parents, new parents or parents-to-be, they should also be aware that we know that, and that they should raise any concerns that they've got and seek help for any difficulties. Is that right? And are there any sort of final wise words that you would both like to leave us with?
I guess it's really about forming that relationship with your baby, so really getting to know them. I think that often when we have a new baby, there's a lot of pressure on us to have family and friends visit and get out into the community, go to baby groups, but actually slowing things down and spending time with your baby at home, a quiet 10 minutes every so often, where we can just start to kind of notice and watch and wait and give them space to communicate with us. Some really kind of slowing down that time is really going to do wonders for creating that relationship, getting to know each other, and really doing what we want. So to really kind of take them into the future where they can thrive and flourish.
And I think when you book your midwifery appointment, you talk a lot about skin to skin, but actually skin to skin is something you can do either parent, however you choose to feed your baby, it's irrelevant, but you can do skin to skin because it forms that wonderful bonding and attachment. Baby can feel your heartbeat, the warmth of you, the smell of you, and that's just something for you both to just sit and relax and enjoy that positive time together.
Thank you. You've mentioned a couple of times during our chat various resources and trusted online resources. Is there anywhere particular that you think people should look? And we will, as always, include in our notes at the end some links. But where would you recommend that parents who want support go and look?
I mean, a trusted site, I would say, is the BBC Tiny Happy People. They give lots of information, advice about a variety of things. You just, again, look and see what is in within your local community. And if you're not sure, going out and ask in your libraries, ask in your midwife, in your health visitor, what is around that I can use to see. Because just go into our community, go into our libraries. They offer really a real positive, enjoying environment, which is really supportive for that relation.
And I think a lot of us forget about the libraries. They've got a lot of resources in libraries now, haven't they, to help parents?
They do rhyme time, they do book times, they do Lego clubs, they do story times, they do all sorts of things, actually, libraries. And sometimes you could just go to the library and just sit there and you'll probably find a librarian will just come over and talk to you. And that's all you need to acknowledge that, to somebody to talk to.
Our producer is giving us endorsement of rhyme time and saying it's absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, good advice there. So I'd sadly, we're out of time, but thank you so much, both of you, for all you do. And I hope we've given some reassurance and encouragement and advice to people going through this very critical time of life that isn't always the wonderful, shiny, happy thing that we all expect. And I hope we've given that reassurance to people. So thank you both for your time. Thank you, Kate. Do you want to say any last words?
No, the only other last one is a plea to remember the whole family, not just mums and dads in the relationship. As we've said earlier on, grandparents, uncles, aunts and things like that as well is really important. So thank you both very much.
And thank you all for listening, and go well till next time.
You've been listening to the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast. The show was hosted by our team of doctors, including Dr. Andrew Tresida, Dr. Peter Bagshaw and Dr. Kate Staveley. The show was produced by Rob Huns Music on behalf of the NHS Somerset Integrated Care Board.